God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message on heaven. Drawn up into heaven. That's today's message from Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author and evangelist and pastor. And in just a few moments, he's going to give us not only insight on understanding heaven better, what we have to look forward to, but also the confidence of knowing that we will be there. As we study the Word, know that we're available for you to pray with you about whatever's going on in your life right now. We'd love to connect both online at theencouragingword.org, that's theencouragingword.org, or this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to meet you right there. Now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts and chapter 11. As you do so, there is something that God, for some reason, will not allow me to let go of. I am compelled to share this, and someone is the reason. God loves you, and I'm inviting you to listen very carefully. Peter, who was one of the followers of the Lord Jesus, he trusted Jesus. He followed him. He knew him, listened to him. He's one of the disciples. And he, just like you and I, was a sinner. It was God's grace that saved Peter. He even did some things that he was really not proud of. And he belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was also a Jewish man. And he had grown up as a Jewish person, following Jewish custom, Jewish law. That's the way he was born into a Jewish family, probably a wonderful family. And the Jewish people had a particular understanding based upon the Old Testament on how it was that they would have access to God. And this is what happened in Acts chapter 11. And then I'm going to explain something to you today that is wonderfully important. And if you listen, and I'm praying for you today, Christ will set you free. I promise you, you will receive forgiveness of sin, and you will be drawn up into heaven with all who believe in His name, regardless of your background, regardless of your nationality, regardless of your culture, regardless of your religious observances, your strict adherences, your dietary regulations, the things that you do, the efforts that you have made to have peace with God. Peter had a vision. And after the vision, Peter found himself back among the people that he had grown up with. And they didn't like the fact that he was associating himself with the Gentile people, the non-Jews. Because according to the Jews, they were very exclusive. They believed, and according to the Old Testament, rightly so, that God's favor was limited only to them. But something had happened to Peter. He met Jesus. And Peter was grappling to understand these things because of his background. I've met people many times in my life who have met Jesus. And the thing they battle with deeply is the fact that in their background they have habits, they have patterns of life, they even belong to certain religious groups. They say, you know what, I'm going to trust Jesus, but I'm not going to let go of the things that I grew up with. I will take Jesus because I believe that Jesus Christ has set me free. But in terms of these other things, I don't want freedom. I've even met people who I pray for very much, because when they do meet Jesus and Jesus sets them free, there is a real genuine struggle with pleasing their parents or their cultural heritage or their religious background, or their church or denominational affiliation, even if that church does not hold to the all-sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are churches today that believe Jesus, yes, but Jesus plus something else. It might be an observance. It might be the way in which you pray. It might be that you believe in Jesus, but you also need to do these rituals on the side. And God's Word tells us that Jesus is the one, only Jesus. And He sets us free from the law because He fulfilled the law. So here's Peter, and I can only just imagine, he goes back into his home background, rubbing shoulders now with the people that he grew up with, the frame of reference from whence he came, and they began to criticize him. They said, look at you. You're betraying us. You're violating your background. You're destroying everything that you know. You're disgracing your parents. And you're a Jew. Jews don't do that. And this is what Jesus said in Acts chapter 11 and verse 4. But Peter began and he explained it to them in order. This is what he said. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. Something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners. And it came down to me personally. Looking at it closely, Peter said, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice speaking to me from heaven, saying, get up, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, by no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth. But the voice answered a second time from heaven, what God has made clean, do not call common. This happened three times. And then all was drawn back up again into heaven. I want to read a verse to you from the book of Leviticus. And if you're following along, you can turn there. It's in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 23. This explains Peter. This explains the criticism. This explains the struggle that some of you are having. This explains the resistance. This is what the Bible says. Here's God speaking to Israel, to the Jewish people. And He says this, you shall not walk in the customs of the nation that I'm driving out before you, because they, the Gentiles, did all of these things. And therefore, I detested them. But I've said to you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God who has separated you from the peoples. You shall therefore separate the clean beast from the unclean, and the unclean bird from the clean. You ever heard the word kosher? There you have it. You shall not make yourself detestable by beast or by bird or by anything with which the ground crawls, which I have set apart for you to hold unclean. You shall be holy for me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have separated you from the people. And you, Israel, you shall be mine. Jesus spoke about this in John chapter 12. And when talking in John chapter 12, Jesus was presented with the agony of His death. Remember, Jesus was a Jew. And here's Jesus facing the agony of the cross. And in John chapter 12, something amazing is given to us, because we find the Lord Jesus saying, my heart is troubled, Father. I know that this is my purpose, but I'm troubled in the flesh. I'm facing the agony of the cross. But I'm here for a reason. And Father, I want you to know that all I want to do is to glorify your name. And so Jesus made this statement. And I'm just quoting, reading to you John chapter 12 and verse 32. Very important. Jesus said this, "And I," that is the Lord Jesus, "when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." Let me read that again. Jesus said this. Jesus said this. He said, "I'm really troubled. I'm engaged in a fleshly battle, the agony of the cross, the violation of my human predicament. But Jesus is God. Lord God in heaven, I know that my purpose on earth is about to be made known. I am here to glorify you, and the manner with which I'm going to glorify you is that through my death and agony upon the cross, I know that I am going to be raised up and lifted up, and by the power and the authority of God, when I am lifted up, in my lifting up, I am drawing all people unto myself." Three things here before I try to unpack something that is very important for us to remember. Number one, God made us from heaven. Where were we made? In heaven, from heaven. In the beginning, God. In the very beginning of time, God in heaven created all that is made. He did so from his seat in heaven, up in heaven. Second, God placed his creation on earth. You can read about it in Genesis chapter 1. The Apostle John in his prologue put it like this. He said, "There was not anything made that was not made by God." And just in case you wonder where Jesus was, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So now watch this now, stick with me. Where did this all begin? Where did we begin? Where did the creatures of the earth, all animals, reptiles, birds, everything, all of God's creation? God made us all by His decree up in heaven. He placed His creation upon earth. Something happened, didn't it? Sin interfered. So let's just pick on men and women right now, male and female. When God made male and female in His image, He placed them, the ultimate of His creation, on earth. And when He did so, male and female were totally, utterly, and completely unaware of their differences. Then sin came into their life. What happened to them? All of a sudden, they became separated in their uniqueness and in their differences. All of a sudden, they became aware of one another. Sin interrupted the uniqueness of the oneness of God's creation. God created us, mankind, the creatures, every living thing in heaven, placed us and all others on earth. Sin interrupted. Jesus came. God's plan for the redemption of all people, even as I, the Son of Man, am lifted up, as I am lifted up, I am the way, Jesus said, the truth and the life. All will now come to God once again through me, and I will draw everybody back again up into heaven. So God draws us back into heaven. Created up in heaven, placed on this earth, drawn back up into heaven. Now just follow Jesus for a minute. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's just talk about Jesus for a minute. Jesus first was up in heaven as Creator. Second, Jesus came down from heaven as identifier. Up in heaven, he was creator, one with God. He came down from heaven to this earth, identifying with his creation, tempted in all points, just as we are, yet without sin. He went to the cross as receiver. He received our sin. He took our sin. All the sin of all of us for all time and eternity, he received it. He took it upon himself. He entered the grave as eliminator. His design purpose was to die and be crucified, be buried in the grave, in his divine purpose to do what? To eliminate our sin, to kill our sin, stone, graveyard, dead. He rose up from the grave as liberator. He liberated us. He set us free from the hold of the grave, from the sting of death. Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, "But thanks be to God who has given us the victory in and through the Lord Jesus Christ." Somebody say amen. "Therefore, I will stand firm. I will be immovable. I will be unchangeable. I will be absolutely certain. And I will work and do the work of God fully with all of my heart, because I know that my labor for Jesus Christ is not in vain." Now watch this, folks. Follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus. Don't follow your rule, your regulation, your culture, your background. Honor your background. Honor your parents. Honor those who have loved you. Follow Jesus. He was up in heaven as creator. He came down from heaven as identifier. He went to the cross as receiver. He entered the grave as eliminator. He rose up as liberator, and he ascended up as mediator, because the Bible says that when he draws all men unto himself, when Jesus ascended to be seated at the right hand of the Father, he is now making intercession. He is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. If you want to go to God, go through Jesus Christ, not through your preacher, not through your church, not through your regulation, not through your dietary regulations. And this is the message that God was giving to his servant Peter. It was a tough one for him, a very tough one. Let's go back to the book of Acts in chapter 11. Something happened here. The spotless Lamb of God came down from heaven. He came to identify fully with all that sin brought to bear on the likes of you and I. He was buried with all of that sin. And he rose without all of that sin, because he conquered sin and death and the grave. And he ascended back up into heaven, mediating on our behalf before a holy and a righteous God. And so God gave Peter a vision. It's an amazing vision, really. If we had time, I'd love to really unpack the meaning of it. It's amazing because he saw a sheet. A sheet. I don't want to read too much into this and make something more than what God intends for us. All I can share with you is in my own heart, the Lord Jesus began to just fill my heart with so many pictures. I'll be perfectly honest with you, even at one point in time, as I was praying and thinking and meditating over this, I said, you know, I must be dreaming. And then the Lord was saying to me, well, that's what I gave Peter. He must have woken up and said, I must be dreaming. In fact, he was. It's like, how do you do? You know, dreams are amazing things. This is a dream. God gave to him a vision. The four corners of the earth. You ever bought a Jerusalem cross? You'll understand about the four corners of the earth. This is God showing Peter the Great Commission. This is Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, the the uttermost parts of the world. Yes, some people talk about the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. But the fact of the matter is that in this dream, what God showed him encompassed every inch of his creation without exception. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female, neither bond nor free. We're all one in Christ. And Peter, having grown up according to the customs of the Jewish law, he understood clean animals represented the Jews, unclean represented the Gentiles, and the twain would not mix. And to boot, this dream happened three times. Isn't that amazing? Really? Here's the number three again. When Peter woke up, he knew that this had happened three times. There it is. Day one, we see Jesus taking on himself the scourge of all sin upon the cross. Day two, we see Jesus eliminating through his burial in the grave the very sting of death. Day three, there he is, Jesus again, conquering Savior, risen from the grave. The Bible tells us that in Adam we all die, but in Christ we're all made alive. Peter went to great pain to say, listen, let me tell you what happened to me. Those of you that are criticizing me about taking this gospel to people that we consider less than ourselves, to people who are not of the same kith and kin, let me tell you the real meaning of the Great Commission. Let me tell you what it means to go into all the world. Let me tell you what it means to give our tithes and our offerings so that people can share the love of Jesus Christ around this world. I had a vision, and right there from the very heart of God Himself came the sheet encompassing the entire world. And God brought down from heaven every living creature of every kind, both clean and unclean. And I said, Lord, forbid it. Look at my background. Look at who I am. I know you, but I cannot violate all of these things that are so important to me. And Jesus said, son, don't you know that when I came to this earth, I died that all people would be set free, that people would know forgiveness, would receive forgiveness, and will be taken up and drawn up just as I draw all men unto myself. What about Jesus' sacrifice? What about Jesus' sacrifice in this vision? Just think about this as I close today. Number one, God sent Jesus down from heaven. Think of this vision. What did it mean? This picture coming down, when Jesus came down from heaven, this displayed God's creative intention that without Him was not anything made that was made. But Jesus coming down from heaven also displayed God's divine intention. Not only His creative intention, but His divine intention. What is God's divine intention? Not only that Jesus Christ is in all and through all, but that Jesus died for all. So God sent Jesus down from heaven, and having paid His sacrifice for our sin upon the cross, God drew Jesus back up into heaven. There's the vision. There's the picture. Why? Why back up into heaven? Well, first of all, because there we see the seat of God's authority. You know who's seated on the throne? God is, my friend. God is. God is. God is higher than all and any. He's sovereign. He's Alpha, Omega. He's King. Why did Jesus, why was He drawn up into heaven? Why does He draw us up into heaven? Why did Peter see a vision at which all the creatures gathered together are drawn back up into heaven after three appearances? Why back into heaven? Because there we see the seat of God's authority. Because there we gaze upon the magnificence of God's glory, of Jesus' glory, the Son of the living God. Why back up into heaven? Because there we find those saved for all eternity. All eternity. Right there in heaven. Why was he drawn up into heaven? Why was the sheet drawn up into heaven? Why did Jesus say, even as I am lifted up, so I will draw all people unto myself? Because there we see the seat of God's glory. There we see, we gaze on the magnificence of Jesus' glory. There we find those saved, your mom, your dad, your brother, your son, your daughter, your friend, your neighbor, those people that are so deeply in our hearts. There we find those who have been saved for all eternity. And there we understand the full significance of eternal security. Now I want you to listen to this. Jesus said, I'll draw all men up to myself, up into the presence of God. Why, my friend? Why will he draw us up? Because there we see the seat of God's authority. There we gaze on the magnificence of Jesus' glory. There we find all of those of us who are saved for all eternity. It is there, up in heaven, drawing up into heaven, that we understand the full significance of our eternal security. This Jesus who came down to this earth, who leveled the playing field, who gave his life for us. When we give our hearts to him, he holds us in the palm of his hand, and nobody will ever be able to pluck us out of his hand. Somebody say amen. Do you know Jesus?
Now that's a powerful question to close our Thursday edition of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You know, I've shared this with many friends. There was a time in my life that I was not sure. I dealt with fear about that particular situation. Are you worried? Are you concerned that your name is not written in that book? Before we get away, let's take one more moment with Dr. Don Wilton and talk about perhaps the most important decision you or I could ever make.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
A great way to wrap up today's edition of The Encouraging Word. The number Dr. Wilton mentioned you could call is 866-899-WORD. We would love to partner with you as you partner with us to see people come to Christ every single day as you become an encourager to The Encouraging Word. The number again, 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And don't forget, many people, even from the beginning of the program, have already signed up and said, count me in for the Daily Encouraging Word email. You can sign up for that as well online at theencouragingword.org.